Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. In a moment, we are going to have an honored guest. Brad Friedman is his name. Bradblog.com is the site. You might want to go there and check it out for this conversation, because we are going to have a conversation about news that is not topical, but critically important to your life. And of course, it's more mayhem out of Wisconsin. And Brad Friedman's going to be here to give us the whole story of the Kloppenburg Prosser election, which just had massive amounts of, quote, irregularities. I'm going to ask Brad if we're talking about fraud, and is irregularity just a euphemism for fraud? But I'm going to pick up a couple of calls. I broke the golden rule. I carried calls over to the break, but I love my callers. Jason, let's pick it up where we left off. Welcome back to Mad as Hell. What were you saying?
Okay, I was saying, so you go to these protests, and everything is all organized. The police are there. They have, like, sort of cow catchers to kind of guide you around where it's supposed to go and where you're not supposed to go. And so what resemblance is that there to real, the way that I imagine protests in the past, where people would get out and really scare the politicians enough that they felt like they had to make some kind of concession, a counterweight to corporate power over the decision-making?
I don't mean to be rhetorical here, but let me ask you to answer your own question. What would it take?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. What would it take? I agree. I've been to those protests, too, and it's all civil, and it's this kind of dance that everybody does, and everybody's in on it, and it's all very civil, but it doesn't threaten anything. And if it doesn't threaten power, then nothing is going to change. And I think I sense what Margaret was saying, and what's going to happen in October, is that we're not just going to go there and protest. We're going to actually go there and occupy Freedom Plaza. There will be arrests, and we will need to summon more people to come. But we will be, it is the potential to spark a movement that would move beyond Freedom Plaza and maybe into the rest of the country. But I agree with you. I've been to these, and they need to be dangerous. So how do we become dangerous again without becoming violent? That's the big question. And I think that Margaret more than once said, you know, nonviolent, non-cooperation, civil disobedience. That is our only refuge here. So, Jason, thanks for the call. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
Take care. Let's go one more call. Let's go to Andra in Beaverton. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hi.
Hi.
I was listening to the program, and I was thinking that over the last month or so, I've been thinking that when I watch MSNBC, I think, what a bunch of garbage. What's happened here?
Right.
Even Rachel Maddow, who I think is pretty good.
She's doing the best job of any of
them. All of them. The rest of it has turned to garbage. I read The Nation magazine and that sort of thing. But what I want to know is, where do I get the real news? Like, what is happening in Wisconsin? What is happening in Indiana? What is happening to our own Representative DeFazio, who has a hedge fund, head of a hedge fund, trying to destroy his spot here in Oregon?
Well, there are places.
What right do they have to come in here?
Right. Well, there are places.
He's a fighter.
Sorry, go ahead.
And he's a fighter. He's a good guy.
He is one of the good guys, and I'll stand by him. I haven't heard anything about the hedge fund, but there's Alternet. There's Truth Out. There's Truth Dig. There's Project Censored. There's Bradblog.com. Bradblog has been completely committed to what's been going on with the election irregularities in Wisconsin. So if you dig for it, you can get it, but we have to couple that information with action. Andra, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. We're going to move on with Brad Friedman. So Brad Friedman is our guest. Talk about taking action. Bradblog.com is the site. Brad is an LA-based investigative journalist and blogger. He's a political commentator, broadcaster, author, publisher, and executive editor of the Brad Blog. Bradblog.com is the site. I encourage you to go there right now and get a sense of the in-depth and responsible investigative journalism he does. He's a regular fill-in for the nationally syndicated Mike Malloy Show and is producer and co-host of the nationally syndicated Green Report, a regular six-minute feature heard on stations and podcasts across the country. This is a busy guy. He is also the host of a weekly radio show on KPFK, the Pacifica radio affiliate in Los Angeles. And finally, he is a 2010 Project-Centered Award winner, recognized for outstanding investigative journalism. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Well, you know, I'm going to come clean up top. I told you when we spoke on the phone, I'm a fan. I listen to you when you cover for Mike, and the work that you've been doing is amazing. Robert Kennedy Jr. called you the Paul Revere of election integrity. I think that seems pretty appropriate.
Which is, of course, because I'm firing those warning shots, ringing those bells, and warning the British.
You're warning the British, right, of course. Right. What I loved is that she defended it. Like, no, gosh, she was defending the British. She was warning the British, saying, we're coming for you guys, you better run.
That's exactly right.
Just like madness, man. Anyway, it is a real pleasure to have you here, Brad. And we're going to talk about, we're going to take calls later. I want people to call in and ask you questions, because really nobody knows more about the Joanne Klopp David Prosser Supreme Court election in Wisconsin than yourself. So, and there's just nothing but trouble there. There has been some news. Didn't the Supreme Court just strike down Judge Sumi's injunction? Is that right? Do I have it right?
Yeah, they did. And as a matter of fact, I heard your intro or your tease a few minutes ago, and you said we were going to be talking, and that it wasn't topical. I will beg to differ, because not only is Wisconsin itself topical, but the entire topic is topical as we head into the 2012 election, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, I often say that the media loves to look at the horse race, but they then ignore the track conditions. And right now, well, that's what's happening. Right now, the track conditions are being set, and there are new laws going into place that are going to severely affect the elections in 2012. But what is going on in Wisconsin right now is very topical, because, you know, they've got their recall elections coming up in just a few weeks. And so, yes, it is all topical. And with that preamble out of the way, you were asking about, yeah, the news out of Wisconsin concerning the Supreme Court there. Yeah, in fact, this week, the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, as expected, really, essentially overrode Judge Sumi and said, no, the public meetings law that appears to have been violated, and this is why Judge Sumi put the union stripping bill on hold. That public meeting law doesn't have to apply to the legislature if the legislature doesn't want it to apply to them. I mean, and that is, you know, pretty much exactly what they said, that it's, you know, it's up to the legislature if they want this to apply. If they don't, then it doesn't. And it was a 4-3 decision, underscoring again why this election to Supreme Court recently, the April 5th election, was so important. Right now you've got a 4-3 split on that court, right-leaning split, and with Justice Prosser, the hard right Republican who's on that panel, and this was his election, you know, with him remaining on that court for the next 10 years, the decisions that are made on that court in Wisconsin are very serious, going to affect the state and the rest of the country, where they are watching Wisconsin quite closely, seeing what they're doing, seeing these rights that they are taking away from we the people. through legislation. You know, this is exactly, by the way, what the Republicans pretend to be against. They pretend to be against big government stripping the rights from the people. That's what they pretend to be so angry about in regard to the Obama health care bill.
Right.
That is exactly what has happened in Wisconsin. Big government has legislated away rights from we the people, and the Republicans there don't give a damn about it. So it just underscores what a scam, that whole notion of big government is. The conservative, these guys who call themselves conservative, they are anything but conservative.
They're radical. Let's go back to the beginning. Okay, I just landed here from the planet, and I haven't heard anything about this race. Let's go back, because when I say topical, meaning that we're not hearing about it, but it is incredibly important and relevant. So let's go back to the beginning and lay out the players and the stakes in the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, early in the year, and folks probably know this much, we saw these uprisings by the people, by the unions, against the newly elected Republican Scott Walker and his agenda to take away these rights from unions, the collective bargaining rights and so forth. And so, they protested in extraordinary numbers out in Wisconsin. Those folks are my heroes. They didn't just protest and then go home. They protested and they stayed and they stayed and they stayed. And, you know, and that's how you make a difference.
Right, like that last caller, stay dangerous. Yep. Stay there.
That's
don't
it.
Go away.
That's it. Stay there and don't go away until you win. And that's exactly what they were doing there. And in the midst of all of this came this Supreme Court election, which pitted Justice David Prosser, this hard-right Republican who sits on the Supreme Court, against Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg, who is actually, she's not a Democrat. She's an independent. She's promised that, you know, she was campaigning on an independent judiciary. But the election became a proxy battle for this Scott Walker versus the unions battle.
It really became a referendum on whether or not Scott Walker was going to be able to succeed in stripping the collective bargaining rights of public employees in Wisconsin.
That's right. And he would have won. Prosser, any other year, would have won in a heartbeat. He was actually in, I think it was February, he was up something like 25% over Kloppenburg. You know, he was going to sweep. And then suddenly people realized this election was going on. It became a referendum on Walker and the Republicans there. The union started putting huge amounts of money into supporting Kloppenburg. The Republicans put a huge amount of money into supporting Prosser. And so what happened was, on election night, you actually had a race. On election night, it turned out that the winner, as announced, the unofficial winner, was Joanne Kloppenburg by 204 votes on election night. But it didn't stop there.
It didn't. As you know, that is my one-minute music. When we come back, there's some something fishy went on in Waukesha County with a woman named Kathy Nicholas. So all of a sudden, something appears that seems, well, let's use the word they're using, irregular. We're talking to Brad Friedman. Bradblog.com is the website. We're going to take the whole hour and just talk about this, because this concerns our election future. You're listening to Matt as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We'll be right back.
And thousands and thousands of dollars in free lunch have been handed out to KPOJ listeners in the past few months.
It's common knowledge.
If you're a member of the Loyal Listener Club, it could be lunch on us.
Here's the way it works.
We post five different names every weekday at 620kpoj.com. Check to see if you're listed. It may just be lunchtime for you. And we pick up the tab. Not a member of the Loyal Listener Club?
Hey, join the party!
Sign up now at 620kpoj.com.
Victor Ray, this is Scorpion 23, traveling west on MSR Vernon for Victor. 16 packs, request MSR status, over. Roger. Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AOR red past 24 hours. 3 IEDs on MSR Vernon.
Victor
X-ray,
this is
Scorpion 23, one Victor hit by IED at grid. Mike Bravo, 310-737, take the small arms fire.
always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and send your message of support to our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Think about three women in your life, your mother, your sister, your friend. Consider this, one in three women will get cancer in her lifetime. I'm Ellen Pompeo, and I'm urging women to take control of their health. So I've partnered with the American Cancer Society to launch Choose You, a new movement to inspire women to put themselves first. Visit ChooseYou.com to make your commitment to a healthy lifestyle. Together, we have the power to help prevent cancer. Live well today, stay well tomorrow.
Maddening, isn't it? This is Mad as Hell in America. Portland's Progressive Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. I want to be elected. Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Babies. I love that tune. Great tune. You remember that album, Brad?
I do, yeah.
I love that, Alice Cooper.
Rock and roll on a Saturday.
Why not, man?
It's Saturday, isn't it?
It is Saturday, and it's a funky Saturday here in Portland. We're talking to Brad Friedman. Bradblog.com is the website. Brad is an L.A.-based investigative journalist and blogger, political commentator, broadcaster, author, and executive editor of the Bradblog, Bradblog.com. He has been called the Paul Revere of election integrity. I love that. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so when we last left off, and why I want you all to listen to what we're talking about, this is about our election integrity going into the future. This was a critical race in Wisconsin between Joanne Kloppenburg and the incumbent David Prosser for the Supreme Court, which turned into a referendum on Scott Walker's legislation to strip collective bargaining rights from public employees. When we last left this, I feel like it's Batman. Remember when they used to do that? When we last left this story before the break, we were all going to bed, and it looked like Joanne Kloppenburg was winning by a couple of hundred votes, and that the referendum on Scott Walker's collective bargaining legislation was a fait accompli. Then what happened?
Yeah, and this was, by the way, 204 votes out of 1.5 million votes cast.
Yeah.
A really big turnout. So this was incredibly close. And in Wisconsin, they use, for the most part, they use hand-marked paper ballots. That's good.
That is good.
The bad part is they don't actually bother to count those ballots. They tally them through these computers, and then they essentially trust whatever it is the computers tell them without bothering to check even one ballot to make sure that the computers are accurate.
Wait a minute. You're saying that no one's a computer. The computer counts the ballot. No one pulls it out and says, hey, every 10th one, and says, yeah, this is working. They don't do a random sampling?
No, they do not. They do no sampling at all.
Wow.
Which is like, frankly, most states. The states that do, there are some states that will do post-election spot checks, but even those can be, I'm sorry to say, easily gamed. So up there where you guys are, and I know you love, you got all of your mail-in elections.
We love our vote by mail.
I know you do. I don't, but we'll get to that at another point.
Maybe we will. You're rocking my world. I feel like, well, at least in Oregon, none of this happens because we have vote by mail.
You want to talk about black boxes? Go look out at that post office box on your corner. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. We'll get into that. Oh, no, I don't even think I want to know.
I don't think you do, but I'll tell you whether you want to know or not. But in any case.
So we go to bed. We think Joanne Kloppenburg's going to win. Then somebody comes in the morning and says, hey.
Actually, they don't come in the morning. That's the problem. And, you know, in truth, we don't know if she's going to win because that is very, very close. Clearly, there's going to be a recount when you're talking about 204 votes out of 1.5 million. And when I say recount, you know, since they haven't counted the ballots in the first place, it's really a count, not a recount.
Right.
So we know there's going to be a recount. But 2 days later, in an evening press conference on Thursday following the April 5th election, Thursday night, April 7th, Kathy Nicholas, this hard right-wing partisan Republican activist, former colleague of David Prosser's, a woman who, by the way, got criminal immunity back in, when she worked for the Republican Assembly to testify against folks like Prosser and his former colleagues in there. A lot of people went to jail in this investigation. She suddenly comes out and announces in a dramatic press conference that she has discovered that some 14,000 votes that she says were cast on election night were not included in her totals that she announced in Waukesha County when she announced the totals to the media. And these 14,000 votes from Waukesha, specifically from Brookfield, the city of Brookfield in Waukesha, once they were added to the totals, resulted in Kloppenburg's 204 vote statewide lead turning into a 7,500 statewide lead.
And wasn't there something
for David Prosser? It reversed the results.
And wasn't there something significant about that number, convenient about the 7,500 number? I was bouncing around on the internet.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. That would preclude a recount. Was it a suspicious?
Well, at the number that that she came up with at that point, it put the totals just outside what would have been the number that would have allowed Kloppenburg to have a state-sponsored recount. In
right.
other words, 0.5% margin would entitle her to a recount if she wanted it that would be paid for by the state. But this number at the time was just over that. Yet, you know, they hadn't yet canvassed the rest of the state, a lot of votes, and as it turned out, the number came in was just under the margin, allowing her to have that recount if she wanted it and have it paid for by the state.
As opposed to her campaign, would she, if it had come over, would she have had to pay for it herself?
She would have had to pay for the actual cost to recount all of those ballots, all of those hours in 72 different counties. So she didn't have to pay for that. If she wanted to recount, although she would have, you know, pretty huge attorney's fees and organizational fees and so forth to have attorneys and volunteers and everything oversee the election oversee the recount that would take place across the state in 72 different counties.
So let's go back to Kathy Nicholas for a
yeah.
minute and mm-hmm. these 14,000 votes. It's like, mm-hmm. oops, oh, they're under my pillow. I mean, where is she finding these votes? And mm-hmm. and in your investigation, are these legitimate votes? I mean, are they manufactured? Where do you just find 14,000 votes?
Well, because of the way she ran elections in Waukesha, which is the most Republican county, pretty much in the state of Wisconsin, it's certainly the largest Republican county. She had been under fire for at least a year prior to that, and I had been reporting on her at bradblog.com prior to all of this. So when I heard there was problems with the votes, I thought, oh, my God, is this going to be in Kathy Nicholas's county? And sure enough, she had had problems. She had been – no kidding. She had been audited by the Republican Executive Board because she kept all of the election results only on her own computer, in her personal computer in her office that nobody else could oversee. She had had like 26 different recommendations to make changes that she largely scoffed at a few years earlier. So the votes were able to disappear because she didn't release ward by ward, state by city by city numbers to anybody.
We're talking to Brad Friedman. Bradblog.com is the website. This story gets worse, folks. We'll be back with Brad Friedman. Bradblog.com is the website. This is Mad as Hell in America. We'll be right back. Bachelorette, the hypnotic trance that the media has us in, the trance of the media circus. And how do we break out of that and start a new conversation? And that's a theme that runs through this show. Our guest was just Margaret Flowers, who is helping to organize a movement. I believe that this is the beginning of something really genuine. It's called Stop the Machine, Create a New World. October 2011. It.org is the website. And I think it's very interesting that now we had a caller who said it feels like something's going to hit the fan. I don't think it's going to hit the fan. I think that, as Chris Hedges said, that we, you and me, are the last line of defense in the dawn of a very, very dark age for this country. And I'm wondering what you think. And what are you willing to risk to change course? We have to wake up from the sleep that we are in. And that's why I sense with this 2011.org movement that's growing, people like Cornel West are going to be there, and Chris Hedges are going to be there, and Glenn Ford and Margaret Flowers. There are going to be groups, environmental groups and single-payer groups. All the peace and social justice movements are coming together. We need to create a movement, and that movement depends on you and depends on me. Give me a call. What are you going to do about it? Will you be there in Washington and Freedom Plaza? 503-248-0620. 1-866-452-0620. Is this our moment in history? Right? Is this our moment? I think it is. I think it's overdue. I think it's our stand, the progressive stand, not even the progressive stand, the human stand for peace and social justice in this, not just in this country, but in the world, is overdue. It's overdue. I want to read something else from the website. This is from 2011.org, October 2011.org. There comes a time when efforts to avoid the truth begin to fail. When one can no longer go about the daily life and pretend that all is okay. If you are like most of us, you are experiencing this. Is that true for you? Are you experiencing this, that it's not okay to pretend anymore that it's okay? There comes a time, this is from October 2011.org, there comes a time when one can no longer shut out the atrocities of the U.S. foreign and military policy, trade agreements that destroy farming, mass unemployment, especially among communities of color, illegal detention and torture, that would be Bradley Manning, increasing drone attacks resulting in mass civilian deaths. And once again, a president, this president, who I felt promised us he wasn't going to lie, at least as much as the others, has lied us into another war in Libya and in Yemen. I mean, we are prosecuting five wars. I could make a case for five wars. So I'm going to do everything I can to be there in Washington. I don't want to make the commitment until I have made it. This is the time when we make this commitment. There is no more time left for us. And I sense that what's going on with October 2011.org is something different. This isn't just the same old thing. This isn't Jon Stewart having a rally for political irony. Because irony is going to be the death of us. Just like political minutiae is going to be the death of us. We need to take bigger, bolder stands. Jason, line one. Oh, I'm not clicking. Let's see. Jason, line one. Well, Jason, I want to have you on. It looks like we're having a little technical difficulty. So what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Let's go with line two. Phone's not working. Would love to have you on. Line one is working. Jason.
Hey there.
Hey, I got it to work. Welcome to Mattis Hell in America. What's up?
Well, I just heard you talking about this event in Washington
right.
in October, and I've been to different things that were protests and were, you know, official events like this. I'm a contractor in Portland, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And the feeling that I get is that you go to these, things, and there's a lot of different groups that are represented. They all have positive messages. They
right.
have things that overlap. They have things that don't overlap. There's a lot of security at these events where the police and the government have cordoned off areas. You must not walk on the sidewalk. You must not move over here. You must stay within this area, et cetera. And you just have the feeling of being managed.
Jason, I'm sorry. We ran out of time. Okay. If you want to hold on through the break, we'll take your call in the first hour. We're going to be back with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and we're going to find out about more madness in Wisconsin. It just never stops. Hold on for the break. I'll take your calls.
Klugman is terrific. Klugman is dynamite. Klugman is Klugman.
Politician in my bed, tying bolts of lightning to his head.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's one and only progressive talk station. Thank God for it. Our guest is Brad Friedman, the Paul Revere of election integrity. Bradblog.com is the website. I'm having fun with it, but he actually is the Paul Revere of election integrity. Go to bradblog.com. He's really committed all of his time to election integrity. And folks, if we don't, it doesn't matter what we do, what actions we take, how progressive we are, how hard we hit the streets, if our elections are rigged, it doesn't mean anything. And that's why the work that Brad Friedman is doing, bradblog.com is the site. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so give us the quick recap. Where did we leave off? And it gets uglier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets ugly. It gets ugly fast. You've got this referendum election that for state Supreme Court in Wisconsin. The incumbent, David Prosser, old colleague of Governor Walker, he's up for reelection. He appears to lose on election night by 204 votes to Joanne Kloppenburg, the assistant attorney general. And then 2 days later, his other colleague, now turned county clerk, Republican county clerk Kathy Nicholas, comes out and says, oh, there was 14,000 votes that I didn't include in the count on election night.
They're in my pocket. I forgot to pull them out.
Now, in truth, and we were one of the first ones to report this at Bradblog, in truth, it appears that those 14,000 votes actually did exist.
So it's just incompetence?
Well, she the 14,000 votes were independently reported by a reporter on election night in the city of Brookfield. So I am fairly confident that those votes were cast and that the results are what they were reported to be by the optical scan computers on election night in Brookfield.
Right,
but
right.
The problem is, she told no one about these 14,000 votes for 2 days. She says she discovered it Wednesday morning after the Tuesday election, but she didn't tell her own board of canvassers. She didn't tell the state election agency there, which is the government accountability board. They're the ultimate election authority, theoretically, in the state of Wisconsin. She didn't tell anybody about it until, at least any officials about it, until she came out and made her her press conference 2 nights after the Tuesday election.
Why? Now,
the day of the her press conference, word started getting out about these 14,000 votes on right-wing blogs. Right-wing National Review Online, I think, had it, and some other right-wingers somehow were able to get this information before even the Wisconsin election officials were given this information. We don't know why she waited 2 days. We also don't know why her explanation for what happened on election night still doesn't make sense. She says she had those votes, but somehow she failed to hit save on her the program that she used to track votes. Problem is, the program that she uses to track votes is Microsoft Access, and it doesn't have a save button. So immediately, Kloppenburg asked for investigations of the situation, of Kathy Nicholas, of a lot of things that did not add up in this race. And appropriately then, she came out, Joanne Kloppenburg, and asked for a full statewide recount of the Wisconsin Supreme Court election.
And that's kind of where it stopped being reported. It was at that point the story kind of disappeared. I remember the Kathy Nicholas being reported, and it was suspicious. And now they're going to do the recount, and then something else came up, and then nobody went back and revisited what actually happened during the recount. And this is the part that people really need to hear. So,
of course, Bradblog.com certainly did.
That's right.
We never left the story.
That's right, man. That's right. I mean, you're true to it. This isn't just talk for you. Bradblog.com, I mean, truly the Paul Revere of election integrity. Somebody's got to pay attention, man. The attention span of this country is so short. So this is where it really starts to get ugly. So during the recount, what do they find?
Well, it's remarkable what they found. Now, mind you, they're counting in 72 different counties. The election law in Wisconsin is such that they will only do a hand count if you have to actually go to court to get permission to do a hand count. A recount in Wisconsin consists of taking the same paper ballots and running them through the same crappy electronic op scanners that counted them in the first place.
That kind of render the whole idea of paper ballots null and void if you then run them through a machine?
Yes, of course it does.
All right.
Nonetheless, they were able to, one of the op scan machines that they use in many of the counties is called the Optech Eagle, and it's so sort of old and out of date that they don't make the memory cards that are required for them anymore, the memory cards that have the ballot programming and that store the results. And so in order to use those same machines again, they would have had to have wiped out the memory cards. And those memory cards, you know, if there was a problem with this election, those memory cards may well show us where the problem was, whether it was a malfunction, whether somebody gamed the system, which is easy to do on these op scan things. So they actually went to court and they got the permission, and they agreed, both the camps agreed to do hand counts in the 31 counties that used the Optech Eagles. And one of those counties it was actually Waukesha. So for the most part, they counted all the ballots in Waukesha by hand. Problem was, once they started counting and bringing in the bags, now we're 3 weeks after the election, mind right. you, when this recount begins, they start bringing in the ballot bags, which have been in the possession of Kathy Nicholas for the last 3 weeks. This, you know, the same woman who, you know, claimed to have gotten the numbers wrong on election night. We don't know if she did or didn't. So she's had these things for 3 weeks. Out come the bags in Waukesha and the other 72 counties. And bags, particularly in Waukesha County, are showing up wide open. Where you can reach your hand in completely. You can pull out stacks of ballots. You can put them in. The supposed tamper-evident security seals were missing. We had the wrong serial numbers on them.
Open ballots? Weren't there ballots that were ripped open?
All the ballot bags were ripped open. They did find, in some cases, they found ballots in like a clerk's office in a, it was actually a different county in that case, Vera County, I think it was.
So let's stop there. Yeah. Let's observe the obvious for a moment.
Yeah.
Why, or at least ask the obvious question, yeah. Why is somebody opening the bags of ballots?
Well, in each case, there were sometimes explanations. Other times there were not. Sometimes they would say, well, these bags, because, I mean, they literally are plastic bags. They're
right.
plastic bags with a plastic zip cord seal that they wrap around the top. And they had a big turnout in this election. There were a lot of ballots. Some of the, you know, county clerks would say, or the city clerks would say, oh, the bags were overstuffed. They have a tendency to open when you move them around.
Okay.
Now, the woman who was the city clerk of Brookfield, the city of Brookfield in Waukesha County, said that when the ballot bags left her city, they were sealed. They were not open. And then she gave wow. them to the highwaymen who moved them to the county the next day after the election. And who knows what happened at that point.
So is it possible that there's somebody in the back of a truck while these things are being moved going, all right, Kloppenburg, 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 and pulling out votes? I mean,
absolutely.
So that's entirely possible.
Absolutely possible. And this is the problem. Throughout the count of those, remember, you only had 31 out of 72 counties that did hand counts. But
right.
With those 31 counties, what you found was thousands and thousands of votes that were mistallied in the first place by the optical scan systems,
right.
okay? For whatever reason, okay, malfunction, whatever, those same op scan systems, by the way, that you guys use up there in Oregon, they routinely miscount ballots. All right, so that we know, there's thousands and thousands of votes.
It's just madness that we use machines that,
yep.
that do this. It just
yep.
and why aren't where are anyway? Keep going.
All right, so So the media, of course, one of the reasons they lose interest is because even with the thousands and thousands of miscounted votes, the totals aren't changing all that much between Prosser and Kloppenburg. In the end, Kloppenburg ended up gaining about 300 votes on Prosser. But that doesn't tell the story, because what you would, and this happens in all the recounts. It happened in New Hampshire recount in the 2008 primary between Clinton and Obama. What they'll do is, you know, if you've got 50 votes get added for Prosser in one ward and 50 votes get taken away from her in another ward, the media and the election officials will announce that as a perfect election. No votes changed.
Oh, wow.
The machines counted them absolutely perfectly. That despite the fact that you had 100 miscounted votes in that example.
Oh, wow.
So, but they don't do, you know, so all they would say is, she gained 5 votes in this county. Well, you know, in fact, there might have been 300 miscounted votes, but it, as it turned out, she'd only gained 5 after they, you know, took away from him and blah, blah, blah. So that's one of the reasons why the media doesn't get it. But those miscounted votes,
because they don't want to get it. I mean, quite frankly.
No, because all they care about is the horse race. Again,
right.
They don't care about the track conditions.
Right. That's a great analogy.
So that's one of the reasons they lose. Now, that's the votes themselves as far as miscounting. As far as the many, many more thousands of votes in which there is no chain of custody anymore, the chain of custody has been broken on these open ballot bags, duct-taped ballot bags
no.
missing their serial number, having their serial number scratched out. I mean, it was atrocious. It was appalling to the point where, you know, I asked, I asked both Kloppenburg and the Prosser campaign and the Government Accountability Board, the state's election agency, how it is that they can assure that the ballots being counted in the recount are actually the ballots that were cast on election night.
Great question.
And the fact is, they can't. What they say is, well, you know, we don't know. The best we can do, however, is compare them to the tapes that were printed, the poll tapes that were printed by the computers on the election night. And if the ballots essentially, you know, for the most part, end up matching those poll tapes, then we're fine.
Whoa.
Which begs the question, then why don't you just use the poll tapes in the beginning? What's the point of doing a recount if you're just going to go back to the poll tapes anyway? And then to make matters worse, some of those poll tapes, for example, one in the city of, the village of Pewaukee, which again was in Waukesha County, has the official results printed out with the date 5 days prior to the April 5th election.
Nice.
I'm sorry, 7 days. March 30th. That's with the data. We've got the pictures at Brad blog. The pictures that nobody else was running. You know, this is not conspiracy. I got the pictures of all the open ballot bags of the, you know, judges looking at them and saying, wow, this one is wide open. It's the largest one we've seen so far. Pictures of these wide open ballot bags that you can see the ballots inside. You can move them in and out, no problem. And here's this picture of this poll tape. Remember, we're supposed to rely on the poll tapes, after all. That's the only way we know that the ballots being counted are the ones that were cast. The poll tapes themselves...
is dated 7 days prior to the election.
There you go.
It's madness.
It is mad. And in other cases, you know, you have touchscreen votes also used around the state. And in many cases, they say, well, if they're touchscreen, you know, they've got a little paper trail, so we can rely on those touchscreen votes. No, Brad, they're not 100% unverifiable, as you say they are. Well, I say they are, and they are. They are 100% unverifiable, and to underscore that, in Wisconsin, in at least 3 different cities, in 2 different counties, you know those little paper trails that are supposed to print out and show the voters' votes so they can check it before they confirm their vote? 3 different cities, there was no paper trail. The workers had put the paper in backwards or something, and nobody bothered to complain, which means nobody bothered to check their little paper trail before they confirmed their votes. As I've argued for years. And so, you know, there was no paper trail to go back to, and nobody even ever noticed on election day.
And yet, and when we come back from the break, my big question is, and yet Kloppenburg concedes.
Yep.
And I just don't know. It reminds me of John Kerry in 2004. I will not surrender until all the votes are counted. Oh, well, you know, but I didn't actually mean it. So when we come back, we're going to find out why Joanne Kloppenburg, in the end, in spite of all of this kind of election fraud and mayhem, concedes. We're talking to Brad Friedman. Bradblog.com is the site. This is Mad as Hell in America on AM 620 KPOJ. We'll be right back.
Is dynamite. Klugman is Klugman.
America is waiting for a message of some sort or another.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Our guest is Brad Friedman, the Paul Revere of election integrity, and that is not meant with any sarcasm. Bradblog.com is the website. If you go there, you'll know what I mean. He has dedicated all of his time and made it his mission to try to preserve election integrity in this country as we move towards electronic voting and machine tabulation, touch screens. There are a few people, one of them being Brad Friedman, who is on it and helping us stay on it and actually looking at the track conditions, as he says, instead of just the horse race. And this is our last segment on this. We've only got about 8 minutes. We didn't get into undervotes. We didn't get into supervising the recounts. But I don't know that we have time for that, because I really want to have a discussion about what happened. So there's all this madness. There's what is clearly fraud. There's vote tampering. There's open ballot bags. There's poll tapes that are predated 7 days before the actual date of the election. I mean, there's all the, forget irregularities. I mean, it's just chaos. It's madness. And yet, in the face of that, Joanne Kloppenburg concedes.
Yeah, she and let me just correct one point. You say there's clearly fraud. I don't know whether there is or not.
That was one of my questions.
Yeah. I mean, what we know is what we know is what I told you. And, of course, I was only able to, you know, hit the tip of the iceberg on some of these issues.
Right.
What we do know is that you've got thousands and thousands of ballots that were counted 3 weeks or 6 weeks after the election, which may or may not have been the ballots that were cast on election night, because the chain of custody was completely violated.
Right, so that doesn't constitute fraud, but it certainly constitutes.
Well, it might constitute fraud. We don't know why these bags are open, why the serial numbers are changed, why they're duct taped, why the poll tapes are misdated. We don't know why. That's why you need, frankly, an investigation, a challenge to the results of this election, because we don't know that these results are accurate. And I interviewed Joanne Kloppenburg on air a couple of days after she conceded this race. I was the first one to actually to interview her.
That's
after
right.
her concession. You know, and I said, are you confident that the votes that were counted in the recount are the ones that were cast on election day? She said, I don't know. What the hell kind of a way is this to run a democracy?
Yeah.
Adam, you know?
Right. So why does she concede? Why doesn't she fight? I mean, you know, remember all the irregularities in 2004 with John Kerry, and all through the campaign, he's promising us, I will not concede until every last vote is counted, unless, of course, it looks like I lost on the machines, in which case I'll just give up and roll over and go home.
In the case of John Kerry, he lied. He was a coward.
I agree with you.
In the case of Joanne Kloppenburg, she, you know, in her concessions, she said we saw a cascade of irregularities,
right.
Widespread irregularities across the state. She detailed some of them to the GAB, the Government Accountability Board, which, by the way, to this day has not reviewed that recount in Waukesha with hundreds of exhibits of those photographs of the open bags, objections by the Kloppenburg campaign. They still don't even have those minutes. Waukesha has not turned them over. They're the only county to have not done so. And yet the GAB, the State Election Authority, certified that election as correct and accurate. She obviously, you know, said you got problems here with your system, but
the burden to go to court, the tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars that would have cost her, you know, ultimately, I think she decided it wasn't worth it. Remember, she's not, she wasn't a Democrat. She didn't have either of the two major parties backing her with funding. The Republicans were backing David Prosser. So this would have been on her, and, you know, she even told me at one point, that, you know, the money that she was spending was her, her daughter's college money for this.
My
so
God.
I kind of got to understand, you know, her some of her thinking here, what she was up against without having a big party to back her. And I'm somewhat sympathetic to that because the fact is a candidate should not be responsible for this. This should be the responsibility of the state that runs the damn election. And the citizens ought to be able to oversee their election to know that it has been counted accurately, particularly after a month-long recount. And we still don't know. So that's the problem when you don't count ballots on election night publicly in front of everybody, the citizenry, and everybody else at the polling place with the results posted decentrally, so that you can know that the ballots were counted accurately. That never happened in Wisconsin, and it's not going to happen in their upcoming recalls either. It's pretty scary.
Oh, I wish there were better news. Brad Friedman, bradblog.com, thanks for coming here and laying out the whole story for us. This is information that we need. Remember, what was at stake in this election was the governor's agenda to strip unions of their right to collectively bargain. So when they can steal elections in Wisconsin, they can steal elections in Oregon, they can steal elections in Florida. We got to do something about this. Brad, thanks so much for your work.
Anytime, Adam. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Bradblog.com is the site if you want to know what's really going on. When we come back, we're going to talk about a flotilla to Gaza with an in-studio guest who's making the journey. We'll be right back.